Yeah, yeah. All right. We're going to be in Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Now, if you've been with us, you realize we've been looking at worship. And the whole concept of worship is giving glory and honor to God out of a pure and dedicated body and a mind that's been transformed by the Word of God. In fact, worship is our callings. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord, glory to his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And when we come to church, I think most of us, and I say most of us because some of us don't, but most of us leave our individual challenges at the door. We sing, we fellowship, we praise the Lord together. The glory of God is really evident here. I hope you all understand that the glory of the Lord really is here. After all, Paul said, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And I really thank the Lord for that. That's the only acceptable way that we can worship God. But what happens when we leave church? Most of us pick our challenges right back up at the door, and we just walk off with them into our daily lives. So how do we really face the difficulties of life? You know, like fear and worry and discouragement, loneliness, those kinds of things that seem to creep up on us on a daily basis. How do we really worship when life beats us down? Peter said, God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through him who has called us by his glory and goodness. Now, if you remember, we looked at fear, which really can cause depression. And we found what the answer was. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So we have God's power to conquer fear, we have God's protection, and we have God's perspective to overrule fear. Now, that's kind of where we were. In fact, the Lord Jesus had a beautiful answer to those who would fear. He said in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, there are times when we get discouraged and we're unhappy, and sometimes we just plain feel bad. You ever been there? Oh, yeah, I think we all have. But depression is something which is a lot deeper. It is a mood of despair. Here are some common symptoms of depression. You can get up on the screen. There we go. Feeling of sadness and hopelessness, thoughts of suicide and death, restlessness, irritability, low self-esteem or guilt, fatigue, weakness, decreased energy, decreased ability to think or concentrate. You know, folks, depression can cause people to drop out of society altogether. In fact, it's America's number one emotional disorder, depression. Now, there's a difference between ordinary sadness, which we all experience from time to time, and out-and-out depression. There's a difference between having the blahs and having the blues. Big difference. In fact, psychologists have described depression as a feeling of helplessness and hopelessness that leads to intense sadness. Years ago, there was a young Midwestern lawyer who suffered such deep depression that his friends took all his knives and his razor blades and everything from him because they were afraid he was going to commit suicide. And it was during this time of depression he wrote these words, "I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on earth. To remain as I am is impossible. I must die or be better." The man who wrote those words were Abraham Lincoln. Wow. Another one of the godliest men who ever lived wrote this, "I of all men am perhaps the subject of the deepest depression at times. I am the subject of depression so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes." The man who wrote these words was probably the greatest preacher since the Apostle Paul, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. But you know what? Some Christians really have a hard time saying that they're depressed because they feel like depression is a sign that they're just not godly, not close to the Lord like they should be. In fact, many think the Bible teaches that depression is a sin, and Christians should never be depressed. Well, folks, let me say something to you. Nothing could be farther from the truth than that. Folks, it's not wrong to get depressed, but what is wrong is to give up on God when you do get depressed. Psalm 43, verse 5 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God." Some of the greatest people in the Bible battled depression. Turn with me to, you're in Psalm 42. Turn left to Numbers. That's the fourth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. You say amen, okay, I'm here, whatever. Amen. Amen. All right. Numbers chapter 11. Moses, who was the greatest leader Israel ever known, the man who single-handedly delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, once became so depressed that he cried out in the Lord. Look in Numbers 11, beginning in verse 11. "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant?" He's talking to God now here. "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you would put the burden of all these people on me?" What people is he talking about? Moses was leading the Hebrews from Egypt to Canaan. You talk about a big church. He had about 2 million members, and all of them were complaining. Don't get any ideas, all right? Verse 12 says, "Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give me meat! Give me, we want meat!'" Look at verse 14, because the 14 is the key to this. "I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead, kill me. Wow. If I have found favor in your eyes, and don't let me face my own ruin." In other words, I can't do anything about this. God, you got to take my life because I can't stand for these people. Folks, here is a man who was worn out physically. He had carried unbelievable burdens. And he said, "I can't bear it. It's too much. I can't meet their needs." But not only was he physically worn out, he was emotionally drained. He was giving of himself and giving of himself and giving of himself. And folks, you ought to know this. The result is that every time you give and you give and you give, something goes out of you, right? When the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment in Luke chapter 8, Jesus said, "Somebody's touched me. I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Let's talk a little bit about Elijah. He was the first preaching prophet. And right after his victory over the pagan prophets of Baal, he was so deeply in the pit of depression that he prayed in 1 Kings 19, "Is it enough now, Lord? Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." I mean, Elijah was a basket case. He really was. He withdrew from all the normal activities. He was isolated and gloomy. He felt hopeless. He felt helpless. He wasn't eating well. Extremely irritable. You know anybody like that? He'd been going so long without food, he'd become emotionally strung out. He had just finished a 30-mile cross-country run. All his strength was gone. Worn out, physically debilitated. He's at the point of exhaustion and he says, "Lord, I want you to take my life from me." Yeah, wow. What about Jonah? We all know about Jonah, don't we? Prophet who was swallowed by a great fish and lived to tell about it. He really did. And he expressed the same desire. Talk about a fellow who'd had it. After that fish encounter, he had gone and preached to a citywide revival crusade in a city that was 322 times bigger than Emmitsburg. That's about 1 million people, folks. And that was in Nineveh. He was preaching there. He didn't have any kind of plush environment in which to be. He didn't have any sleep in like we got that, or the Hyatt Regency. He didn't have any of those things. He didn't have any kind of a ride other than the donkey he was riding on. No PA system. And on top of that, the Bible says the heat was so great, a hot wind from the east blew on him. He had a sunstroke. And it was at that time in Jonah chapter 4, verse 3, Jonah said, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Folks, here were three great men, one a patriarch, one a prophet, one a preacher. And yet all of them became so depressed that they wanted to die. Every one of them said, "Stop the world, I want to get off. This is it. That's the end." And you know what? In the same way, let's bring this down to today. Depression can affect those, for instance, who all they do is work. Work, 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 work. Do the work, do the work, do the work, do the work. Stay up late at night. Get up early in the morning. Eat on the run. Get very little exercise. And just, you get physically worn down. Can happen to people who are stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads, for that matter. Unending household duties, crying babies, more chores than there are hours in the day. You can get run down. You can get irritable. You can get depressed. When your body's physically run down and worn out, when your diet and your nutrition is unhealthy, when you're not getting enough rest, when your nerves are jangled from the pressure and anxiety, folks, you're easy prey for a target for depression, really. Now, everybody from time to time has struggles with their emotions when things don't go exactly like they ought to go. Now, if you've ever had, maybe you don't fall into that category. Sometimes, when we get like that, we want to tend to curl up, get in bed, curl up in the fetal position and start talking about how everybody hates you, how unfair life is. We want to sing the little children's song. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm just going to go eat worms. Y'all remember that song? Yeah, I saw you sing it. So understand that if you are depressed, you're not alone. You're not alone. Because before long, you have to realize your depression is going to affect other people. Whether it's your wife or your children or your friends. Because depression is contagious. It really is. Sometimes we can pass depression around because we feel so bad. We want to find out people who can get them down in the dumps where we are so we can commiserate together. And depression can affect our bodies, our souls, and our spirit. Many of the emotions can trigger depression. In 1 Kings 19, it was fear of Jezebel that depressed Elijah. In Jonah 4, it was anger over Nineveh's repentance that depressed Jonah. In Numbers 11, it was stress from too much work that depressed Moses. Okay, pastor, all that stuff, I'm getting depressed. You tell me all that stuff. So what is the remedy for depression, for our bodies, for our souls, for our spirits? How do we get up when we're down? When we're down physically or emotionally, or we're down spiritually, or maybe we're down all over the place. If you have those feelings of helplessness and hopelessness, there's help for the helpless. There's hope for the hopeless. God didn't call us to stay down in a valley of depression. He called us to walk in a mountaintop of victory. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10? I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life. Not only life, but abundant, overflowing, bubbling up kind of life. You say, "Pastor, that depresses me." I'm talking to you then. There's nothing that Satan likes better than to see a soldier of the Lord too depressed to fight a battle that he's already won. And that's sometimes where we are. So here's my goal today. I want to refresh you if you're depressed. I want to encourage you if you're discouraged. I want to repair your despair. And I want to call, I want to tell you that for every cause of depression, there is a cure. There really is a cure. God loves us so much. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Thank God the story of these men didn't end with their depression. Now, you know, we all the time thank God for our prayers. We talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. You know, Bible study, Wednesday night, 6:30, Bible study, right here. We talked about that and how God answers prayer. And we just praise the Lord for when he answers prayer. But have you ever thanked God for unanswered prayer? You better. You better. We'd be in trouble if God always answered our prayers. These three guys. God, kill me. God said, okay, pfft. The end. God doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. What a great God we have. And the great thing is that God did not mistake the moment of weakness for the person. God knew that they were in a fit of depression, and he supplied the remedy. Okay, Pastor, you already said it. So what is the remedy? Well, let me talk, first of all, about the physical remedy for depression, the physical refreshments. Sometimes we need for the need for depression is to get some old-fashioned R&R, rest and refreshment. Isn't God the great physician? You can nod your head. Amen. He knows more about our health than we do. He knows that we need to have a proper, balanced diet. We need to have a reasonable amount of rest. Nobody, let me say it another way, nobody, not even that stranger from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of, okay. He came, you know, even him. Every now and then ran up on some kryptonite. What's the kryptonite in your life, huh? Psalm 127, verse 2. The psalmist says it's useless to rise up early and stay up late to feed the bread of sorrows because he gives his beloved sleep. And we need to rest. One time Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 6, come off by yourselves. Let's take a break. Get a little rest. That's the Lord Jesus talking to his disciples. He knew they needed rest. And folks, let me just say this. We better come apart or we'll come apart. Let me say that again. We better come apart or we'll come apart. Martin Luther once said, I have so much to do today, I simply must go back to bed. You know, sometimes it's one of the best things we can do is just rest and get refreshment. You know what some of us need? It's called the big V. You know what that is? Vacation. A vacation. A plain old vacation. And we all can say amen to that. We really need to get a vacation. But I know what you're saying. I can't. You just don't understand. I can't. Well, we need to take it. We really do. David said in Psalm 71, verse 3, speaking to God, he said, be my rock of safety where I can always hide. You need somewhere to go. Even if you can't go away, you need somewhere to go to get alone with God. So we need physical refreshment to refresh our bodies. But not only that, we need emotional renewal. Now, I know you might think that finding time for an emotional revival or renewal means going out on a weekend spiritual retreat, doing all that crazy stuff. But you don't have time to do that. You really don't. That's not a luxury in your life. But there are still plenty of opportunities to find refreshment. When Elijah was rested and refreshed physically, then he was ready to be renewed by God. God had healed him physically. Now God was ready to touch him emotionally. Here's my point. When you are physically refreshed, then you can focus on the things that draw you closer to God. Things that will give you that peace that passes all understanding. Things that will guard your heart and mind. We're very familiar with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And you know what happens when that happens? Your depression lifts. It really does. Remember, we talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where Paul said we are to renew our bodies and we're to transform our minds by the renewing, or transform, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So how do we do that? How do we get emotional renewal? You know what? We get attacked in our mind because our minds are a battlefield, folks. They're not a playground. They're a battlefield. And as we begin to connect our spirit with the Holy Spirit, that's when our spirit begins to get stronger. Our minds are servants, folks, and either we're going to serve the spirit or we're going to serve the flesh. You say, wait a minute, I can't control my thoughts. That's not scriptural. You can control your thoughts. God told Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, for you will be sure to obey everything written, and only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. We're expected by God to choose our thoughts. Paul gave us the key in Philippians chapter 4, another very familiar verse to lots of people. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then probably the most familiar verse of all. Now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about these things. They are excellent and worthy of praise. See, we can control our thoughts. You know, there's an old saying, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. See, I don't have that problem. You know, but there are some people that do. Bad thoughts always come. We can't help the bad thoughts, but they don't have to stay. They really don't. We should rejoice in all the small victories that we have. Focus on the good things God is doing, not what he's not doing. Too many times that's where we focus. Not on the glory of God, not on the blessings of God. We look at the things God's not doing for me right now. Shouldn't do that. So what should we do if we're experiencing depression and unhappiness? Listen to Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Let me read that phrase again. That I may declare all thy works. You know what that verse is saying? Find somebody that's in need. Do something to help them. Remember, Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. When you feel like your heart is about to break under the pressure of depression, remember Psalm 147, verse 3. Speaking of God, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Listen, folks, isolation is a poison for a depressed person. That's how the devil attempts to keep us in his power. So when we get depressed, find some physical refreshment. Renew our minds with his word. That's when our spirits will be revived. We need a daily input of scriptural principles, a desire to really know God more intimately than we do. Spend time meditating in his word. We should seek to know more about God and share our hearts with God in prayer. You know what? Fellowship is another important part of our spiritual growth. We journey together as believers, don't we? I mean, we're all in this together. And when we come together, we can mutually lift one another up, exhort one another, love on one another. Help us grow in faith, both emotionally and physically and spiritually. See, the same God that raised up Jesus Christ can lift you out of the dumps of depression. Set your feet on the rock. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2 says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Folks, you can overcome depression. Get some rest. Get in the Word of God. That's when your spirit will revive. And then you can claim that last verse in chapter 42 of Psalm. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. That is a sure promise we have about depression. Place your hope in God. He will see you through. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word that brings healing to our souls and to our bodies and to our minds. And I pray this morning that if there's somebody here who's struggling with depression, that the Holy Spirit would lift their hearts, give us understanding and compassion for one another, that we may be able to joyfully praise God together. Thank you for all that you've done and all you will do. And we just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going